The great Dadaji, Sri Ami Roy Chowdhury in worldly parlance, has been in Lucknow since 9th April 1972. His simple philosophy of faith has transformed the lives of countless individuals in this country and abroad. His powers to perform miracles has confounded the rationalists and disbelievers, although Dadaji himself never thinks much of them, and is often reminding people that miracles in themselves are nothing in terms of his spiritual realization. At best, they are proof of phenomena observable in life that are above human intelligence and proclaim by subtle suggestion the overall control of the mundane world by a supermind. Dadaji's mission in life is to revitalize Sanatan Dharma, the eternal religion of mankind, by freeing it from the paralyzing influences of phony Gurudam. In fact, Dadaji believes that it is not given to man to be a guru of another man. In simple terms, Dadaji's philosophy affirms the presence of the divine essence in man. It is to this divine essence that one must look up to in matters of spiritual realization. The jiva is in constant company of the divine essence, and yet, ignorant of it, we loiter around aimless and confused. If only we could discover through experience the divine essence within ourselves, we shall have discovered the guru who can lead us to the path of ultimate realization. The divine essence in man, according to Dadaji, is truth. The Mahanam emanates from it, and hearing it we realize that what we have been hankering after in this mantik is this mantik Mahanam, through which every man would realize his highest destiny. The Mahanam is revealed on the plain piece of paper that one carries along for the puja with Dadaji. It is the Mahamantra, with the help of which we are to realize truth and in course of time become one with it. Dadaji refuses to be designated as guru because the Mahanam we realize comes from within ourselves during initiation by the grace of the Lord directly. He claims no credit for having introduced us to it, that after all being the mission he has set himself. In the presence of Dadaji, many, many people have realized Mahanam, and they include famous and not so famous artists, academicians, scientists, industrialists, workers, in short, people in each and every profession and belonging to all classes. The Mahanam, being the verbal realization of the highest truths, is above religion, caste, creed, color, and sex. Once the musical chant of the Mahanam starts in us, a state of progressive bliss, culminating in pure ananda, quickly follows, making life a perpetual pilgrimage. It is the surest way in Kali Yuga of attaining to the highest realization of which human beings are capable. Even in terms of day-to-day life, the Mahanam is the source of perennial strength. In the feverish turmoil of life, the Mahanam gets us the soothing support of the divineness and helps us to bear with equanimity and poise the barbs and arrows of misfortune. According to Dadaji, the act of bearing with life with patience, fortitude, and unfaltering faith in him is the only penance we are required ever to perform. No words are adequate to describe the joy of getting an audience with Dadaji, the living embodiment of truth, Sri Sri Satyanarayana. It is the highest anubhava, charged with inexplicable bliss, and must be experienced to be enjoyed. The words, in their pathetic confinement, give only a very hazy idea of the bliss it is to know Dadaji and receive his grace. In a world where the crisis of faith deepens every day, it is but meet that we, who have had this joy of experience, should rejoice that we have at least him for solace and comfort and guidance and support.
One becomes entangled in the wave-like attribute of the divine nature, the vapa, thereby losing his capacity to distinguish good and evil. Do not therefore aspire for happiness, or be attracted to good and evil. Rather be attached to Mahana, like Dhruva, or Prahlad, attached to the Lord. Then Mahana will fulfill all your wants, and you will be free from the wavy attributes of the divine nature. Attraction or repulsion is nothing but the movement of the divine nature's attributes. Feeling of happiness through the instrumentality of mind, intellect, or senses should not be imputed to one's ego, so that one may endure the pressure exerted by mind and intellect, which will culminate in a state of universal bliss, bringing mind, intellect, and senses in equilibrium. This is called the state of universal wisdom. One who has acquired this state of universal wisdom is God Himself. Anyway, try to gain Mahana with utmost devotion. Do not be tempted by the allurements of the intellect or desires of mind or senses. Always take Mahana, and in return, Mahana will surely protect you. Sri Sri Satyanarayan. The Revelation of the Truth by Sri Dharaji. The conception of puja or worship has evolved through the ages before it has reached the present shape. In its origin, it was called the yajna, or sacrifice performed by the ritual for the welfare of the yajnana. Gradually in its process, this yajna took the form of a worship conducted by the priest before the symbol of a deity, along with various other paraphernalia. In its final stage, this system of worship has got involved with our daily routine of life, and naturally has now become nothing but a show of formal rituals and superstitions. This again has given birth to numerous taboos and inhibitions and superstitions. As a result, truth has been pushed to the background, and worshipping God has become a habit with us, which has absolutely no contact with the warmth of life and heart, but is looked upon as an event of ostentation and exhibitionism. Sri Dharaji, Sri Ameya Roy Chowdhury, has declared for the first time that the true adoration that was prevalent in the days of Sanatana Dharma is something completely different from our present religious practices. And this glorious heritage has been forced to make room for artificial ostentation and exhibition. According to Dharaji, truth is ever pure and does not require any offering or worship from us, since it is the supreme essence in the infinite creation in and around us. On the contrary, any work which it is done with honesty and sincerity is the greatest offering to truth, which is in the person, yet impersonal, which is in the individual, yet universal. The manifestation in the event of Sri Sri Satyanarayan is commonly termed as puja. This is, however, a grossly incorrect expression. For, as Sri Dharaji says, a mortal with his limited mind and ego can never perform a puja, as it is the highest manifestation of the event when the worshipper and the worship become identical. And that is something very secret and sacred. Even the second person should not know it. Since Dadaji does not believe in the right rituals and regulations as interpreted by the priesthood and practiced through the ages, he established it before all that simple faith and pure love can make and unmake things beyond and above the range of our physical conception. Thousands who have seen the room before and after the event of Sri Sri Satyanarayan will testify to the striking phenomenon of the room filled with an almost choking fragrance. The floor of the room, which was before the puja, dry, was now flooded with divine water. The coconut water had been semi-congealed to fill with strong divine aroma, and the glass of plain water had been transformed to highly perfumed coconut water. It appears that the confinement of the four walls during this event serves as the laboratory to Sri Dadaji, in which he conducts his experiments with this physical nature. There is an inner world veiled by the matters of the great physical world, and of which we do not have any clear idea. Dadaji is making efforts to reveal the truth of that inner world before our physical sense perception. The strong and sweet aroma indicates the potentiality of the future unfolding of the psychic world of beauty and fine art in this physical nature. The bright focus of light in different colors, concentrated with the strength of million suns but without heat, signifies the supreme manifestation of the highest wisdom which is yet dormant in our nature. The divinely radiant water on the dry floor is highly pregnant with life, as water is the root of life, and as Dadaji says, it is that pure Ganges water from which we draw our vitality. The transformation of the coconut water into nectar establishes the fact that the great nature of coconut has evolved into its pure and finest essence. This, however, also shows the tremendous potentiality of a human volition, which can at will transmute its energy into the physical nature to constitute a phenomenon like this. It is nothing mysterious, no metaphysics. The physical law proves that a loose upset in the working of the orders of nature will result in the catastrophe of atomic explosion, whereas in the events of Dadaji we find the result is atomic fusion. So the knowledge here is fire and also basic. Dadaji assures us again and again, in mental and physical life, the road never remains at a standstill. The grosser instincts of our nature, which now divide mankind and cause war and tension, are bound to get transformed and help us imbibe the nobler virtues of truth, love and wisdom. Love, then, will be the guiding force of our brain and heart, on which lies the realm of Vijnana, the truth of fire's wisdom. Men will find in himself the power out of which are to come results to him infinitely beyond all that he has ever dreamed of, results which will revolutionize quietly the existing modes of life and methods of action. Sri Dadaji has come to speed up this process of evolution, so that our heart, which is now bogged down in blind superstition and habits, may give way to an open heart, fit to communicate with the Supreme Consciousness.
I am being given the privilege of saying a few words about the speaker, when you will hear speaking on Dadaji. I met him yesterday and he was there. One of the greatest, rarest intellects the world has produced, not only India, but the world, Palkiwala, a name to conjure with in the world of jurisprudence, especially taxation laws, on which he is a world authority. To look at him is to know that you are the four personalities. But you do not realize, when you look at that personality, that inside himself he is wanting to reach the point of impersonality, where all intellect vanishes and the truth remains. For intellect has a way, a very subtle and cunning way of hiding the truth. Palkiwala brings with an enthusiasm which seems external, very vibrating, but when you approach him and you know him, you realize he is on the path, looking for something beyond himself and his great achievements.
The science of our world deals with man's efforts of reorientation, reorientating the sense data presented to our consciousness within a natural framework of time and space. The validity of all scientific laws, therefore, are limited in their own regions. since they cannot transcend the barriers of the given laws of nature, and if by any chance the veil of ignorance is lifted and one gets a glimpse of an oceanic science world that conceived this universe and that still governs it with the finest wisdom, he feels how poor is the human intellect and ego that try to unravel by reason the manifestation of the supreme intellect. This is the fact that I had realized from my experience with Sri Dadaji when I met him first in Bombay. My friend, Dr. R. L. Dutta, a prominent scientist in India, had told me in California about the numerous divine manifestations of Sri Dadaji, which aroused a great curiosity in me to meet him. In the midnight of 18th August 1973, I landed in Bombay Airport and was accompanied by Dr. Dutta to the Taj Hotel. Late at night, I went to bed, and then, as if in the waking sleep, I saw a radiant, handsome figure appear in my vision, almost like a divine angel. I could not place him among my near and dear relations. And when, in the next evening, I stepped into the room of Dadaji, I immediately recollected the vision of the last night and was surprised to learn that it was Dadaji who had appeared in my consciousness. I was pondering over the incident when Dadaji affectionately drew me close to him and started talking in a very familiar way, as if he knew me for a long, long time. I have heard many propagating that God is with him, but it is here that I first experienced that truth in one. Mankind is one, and the language is one, and that what man needs is the awareness of his divine self only. Dadaji presented me a book on him and asked for my name to be written there with his own autograph. I looked out for a pen, but to outwit me further, Dadaji just touched the first page of the book with his finger and handed it back to me. I saw the name written there in red ink, along with a strong aroma coming out of that page. Dadaji, with his smiling face, questioned me, "What do your sciences say? Do you think it's a miracle?" And then himself gave the answer, "It is because you try to analyze everything by your limited mind. It appears mysterious to you. It is, in fact, a blessing from God in the form of this divine manifestation. And at the same time, it is to hammer your ego that what you have been achieving through the knowledge of your science is contained as a small problem in the great science of the Supreme Lord. I have to admit its rationality. Dadaji also said that to make one aware of his own divinity. No intermediary is required ever. On a blank piece of paper, I saw the Mahanam, that is the great name of the Lord, though in my own mother tongue, English, in a flash, and thus injecting a tremendous vibration through sound and aroma in my very existence. It again disappeared to my consciousness. That language is one was proved by Dadaji when he explained to me that the initiation being conducted by Sri Sri Satyanarayan manifests at a level where this time space language framework cannot reach. He has a great reverence for life and advised me that the only duty of a man is to work sincerely remembering the Mahanama. There were already about 13 scientists, all renowned in their respective spheres, who had assembled before Dadaji. When he asked for a bottle filled with plain tap water, I examined the bottle thoroughly in the light and then gave it back to him. Before all of us, the water inside gradually changed its transparency, and fumes of strong divine fragrance transformed the plain water into a sanctified nectar. It struck me to conclude that the chemists make different changes in a matter by supplying energy according to the scientific laws. But he who knows the law of supplying energy from an infinite natural storehouse that pervades this creation can bring out the transformation instantaneously. Dadaji knows that science and the